Good morning. No, I'm not going to lead a song. I'm going to just move right into the message part of our service together. My name's Chip Jones, and I'm one of the elders here at Central. And I would, the purpose of my talk this morning is to give a short summary of where we have come to on our journey this year. And it concludes this week. And you can see here some of the information that we do each week and we try to pass on to you to help us have conversations. We have just completed the inward part of the journey, what we call inward. And that concludes this week, and we're going to start the next portion of the journey. We're going to refer to that as outward. And Richard's going to speak about that in a few minutes. So we've been reviewing over the last few weeks part of these concepts that we have, and I'm going to speak about it in a more conversational tone because I'm hoping at the end of this you'll understand a summary of what we've been trying to do over the last few weeks, and especially how it has affected my life and my walk, rather than trying to find some nugget in Scripture that you have not seen before. Hopefully this is going to give you a little bit of assistance in applying those nuggets and the Scriptures that you read to your lives, like I'm trying to do as well. We have been discussing, or we're going to be discussing over this year, 10 core beliefs that we have as Christians and 11 principles that we should work to uphold as a congregation. And the elders have been working with the deacons and the other ministry leaders to try to organize that into a sort of a connected message that we can present over the year. And we've decided to do that in the form of a journey. And we've had four different areas: upward, that we did early in the spring, inward, that we have done here in the first part of the summer, and we're going to move to outward and forward. And we hope those words can be helpful to you to start conversations about how we can work together, and we can encourage unity between the members here and encourage us to understand and fulfill the purposes that God has set forward in our lives and in His kingdom. Now, I want to thank everybody that has been working on that. There's been a lot of people that's been doing it and have been helping us organize the course of study, review some of the study materials that we've been doing. We've got a lot of teachers who have been trying to put those principles into practice and try to bring messages that will help us understand that better, whether they be teaching in classes or making presentations on Wednesday nights or other things. But we hope that that's going to illustrate the points illustrate points associated with the journey and things that we can learn about being more unified as a congregation and becoming more mature in the works that God has set us out to do, as David mentioned earlier. It's been very encouraging to me. And I especially want to thank Alan Wright, who gets up here. I think there's a message in the fact that there's going to be four of us present today, and that's taken the place of one guy, Alan Wright, who normally speaks. And so there's a message there, and I hope you learn that. Alan does a great job for us, and he's done wonderful in trying to go through the book of Ephesians and to bring us the lessons from this journey that will be helpful to us. Now, we've also had help from Earl Lavender, who came a few weeks ago, and he'll be coming back very soon. At the beginning of the inward part that we have been working on, he reminded us that we are all ministering priests, and we have the responsibility to live our lives as God intended and show each other the way Jesus wants to live in the kingdom right now, His kingdom being right now here on this earth. God created this world. He designed it to provide us a rich, full life while we're here on earth, and He encouraged us by His experience and interacting. Earl Lavender encouraged us by his experiences in the mission field in Italy and interacted with his college students. He meets lots of college students every week and every semester, and he's learned a lot and told us about things that he learned at Lipscomb University. So one of the things that I hope that we get out of this, and something that stuck with me, is that as Christians living here in God's kingdom, we are the physical manifestation of Jesus' body here on this earth. When people look at us and they see how we treat each other and how we talk about each other, that is the image of Christ that people can see. They probably know of the name of Jesus Christ. Most people are going to hear that at some point. But seeing what that means, that comes about as what we do and how we treat each other. So we want to be the best representation that we can possibly be. And we want to set a goal for ourselves, and I know I have, to mature as Christ would want us to do, and make us a highly functioning part of God's or Christ's body here on earth. You know, Paul talks about it, introduced it, it seemed to me, in 1 Corinthians 9, where he talked about how we're preparing ourselves for a race, and we're training our body to work in the way we need to be doing in his kingdom. So we need to think about how we can put things into action. I mean, you can read about how to hit a baseball with a bat. Anyway, you can read about it over and over and over again, but until you actually get out there and try to do it, you're never going to really be successful at it. And so we need to listen to his words and then try to put them into practice and learn each day better ways that we can function as the parts of the body. We want to function the best way possible. And Paul also reminds us in chapter 12 that God has placed us at different parts in the body just as he wants us to be. And he's arranged them in just the way he wants them to be. And it reminds me of the diversity that we talk about here in our fellowship and how we want to be a properly functioning congregation through our diversity. Diversity is a great thing because you need all different kinds of parts of the body. And I would propose that some days I'm a foot and that's the part of the body I'm supposed to be, and other days I might be a hand, and today maybe I'm a mouth. I guess you could say, because I'm standing up here. But everybody's going to have different functions that they're going to perform, and they need to try to learn how to perform those functions. And I need to resist myself in thinking, well, if everybody was just a little bit more like me, everything would be better. That's not true. I think the way God has set us up, he has prepared us to function as different parts of the body, and having a diverse, multifunctioning body is a great thing. Now, one of the things they talk about is how if one part of the body gets hurt, all the rest of the body hurts as well. And what can we do about that, and how can we become a better functioning body related to that? And that is by bearing each other's burdens. And forgiving each other. We can show our love for each other and maintain unity through bearing each other's burdens. I know it's difficult if we're short of resources, if we're experiencing sicknesses, a loss of loved ones. They're all natural parts of life on earth, and it can be very stressful. And one way that we can do it on a practical way each day is to reach out to fellow Christians during those times of need and help bring us close together. It's beneficial not only to the people who receive our outreach, but it's beneficial to us as we do it because we become more mature. We can see sometimes this is going to be helpful, or maybe what I just said wasn't that particularly helpful, and I need to do better next time. I might even need to ask forgiveness because I didn't do it very well. But that's the way you learn. And we need to be humble enough to reach out and try to do the right thing, even though we might look a little bad. Now, I believe that there are two attributes for us working together and bearing each other's burdens. That is, to bear with each other and to forgive each other. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:22, we must love one another from the heart. And Ephesians, Paul said, submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. So submission is a part of that. And Jesus told us, then you will know you are my disciples if you love one another. So I am blessed very much by having the body at Central that gives me encouragement when I'm dealing with difficult situations. I can remember lots of difficult situations. And in my position as an elder and a leader in the congregation, I get to hear from lots of different people. And it gives me great encouragement when people say someone comes to us with a problem and we're able to work through it and we're all better for it. It is a great time and it's a great encouragement to me that people are willing to do the things that they need to do to get through that. Right now I'm going through a difficult time with illness in my extended family, and we want to figure out what is the best way to deal with that, how can we be helpful, and how can we benefit everybody through that, even though it's a very difficult time. And having friends and family here at the congregation that helps us and advises us and says, you know, that doesn't sound like a very good idea, Chip. You know, that's a good thing for me to hear, even though it might not feel that good at the time. I'm very blessed to have my family here. My father is still here, and that's great. He's like a father to lots of us, and especially to me. And it's great to have that resource here that I can always go to and kind of let my hair down, and he tells me to put it back up. But it's a great thing. But even if he weren't here, I feel like I've got lots of fathers here that I have depended on and give me encouragement. And I think you can have that if you will submit yourself to other people as if they are a father, and then you'll get the blessing of that. And I know that I have. And in a similar fashion, you know, my mother passed away about 8 years ago, and I have lots of women here that I consider my mother, and they come to me and they say things that encourage me. And it's a great thing to do that. But I do that by submitting to them as mothers in this congregation. So now we belong to one another. After that, I do feel like I belong to this congregation. It's not just me that attends here. I belong to this family. I have responsibilities, I have functions. I've been adopted into this family, and my life reflects the life of this congregation. I don't feel like I'm here to go it alone. I'm called into fellowship in Christ with everybody else here. And one of my favorite scriptures, the Hebrew writer tells us, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. That's a wonderful thing about God's family, that we can have brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers that can encourage us, help us grow with humility and showing care to each other and being devoted to each other and learning from each other. We can share our lives and bless the body of Christ in the process. So that concludes my remarks. I will say that we've got two other fellows that are going to get up before Richard does, and they're going to be sharing from their lives, Ron Graham and Lance Moore, and I think it would be very beneficial to us. Thank you.
Well, good morning. For those of y'all that don't know me, my name is Ronald Graham, better known as RG. I'm going to start out with a scripture in John 13, 34 and 35, which says, a new command that I give you, to love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And for me, during this inward journey, it's all about relationships and how we relate to each other, showing the world Christ. It's about loving each other, working as a unit, working as a body, because we all belong to Christ. We're all part of God's family. And it's about having compassion on each other, caring for each other, and encouraging each other, carrying each other's burdens. And there are just tons of other scriptures that talk about our one another relationships to each other. And as I think about this journey, there was a question that was asked, have you formed any new relationships or deepened any existing relationships during this time on this journey? And the answer for me is yes. And when I think about this, I think about two people. I think about Jay Campbell, and I think about Gary Benford, known better to me as GB. Thinking about Jay and thinking about Gary, we're all three totally different people. You know, Jay is more of an organizer. Jay likes spreadsheets. If you've been around Jay, you'll see his spreadsheets. I got to know Jay a little bit better when we went on a family vacation to Missouri. I seen the way that he drove most of the way to Missouri and most of the way back. He served the college students in so many different ways. And you know, our conversations during the retreat was just great. I just seen Jay has a heart to serve people. And me and him and some others are going to be working with the campus ministry this year. And Jay has a heart to serve, him and Carla. But during our meetings on Thursday nights, Jay brings his spreadsheets. He brings his calendar. He brings his agenda. He brings all the information to our meetings. And during our meetings, or traveling to our meetings, we've been meeting at different people's homes. And me and Jay has had some very deep conversations about some things. You know, we both stay on the south end of town, you know, and driving out to Madison, we've had time to just talk and share some things. So I really appreciate Jay for his working with the campus ministry. You know, just think about it. Me and Jay, we're just totally different, but we can work together. And I've come to love and respect Jay for that, for the things that he does. And far as Gary Benford, I've been knowing Gary for a long time. Too long, as a matter of fact. Something about Gary and what he said a couple of meetings ago, he said, "I can be bossy. I can be loud. I can be demanding." But one thing about Gary, you know, he's a good song leader, and he uses his talents to glorify God. I'm not a song leader, so I can't sing like Gary. But that's the way it is within the body. You know, we're all working together. And during our meeting times on Thursday night, Gary, he does a devotion. And one thing he's been talking about, us working together as a unit. Working together, you know, coming together, using our talents and abilities to glorify God. You know, he's wanting us to put it in practice. And what he shared last Thursday was from Philippians 2, where Paul talks about do everything without grumbling and complaining. You know, we might get tired sometimes. We might want to grumble and complain. But we can't do that. We gotta work together as a unit. And Paul really stresses that out, really stresses that in 1 Corinthians 12, working together as a unit, not thinking of yourself only, thinking also of others. And that's all I got to say. So I'll sit down.
Morning. Wow, it's a lot different up here. My name's Lance Moore. I'm a native of Huntsville. I'm 58 years old. I don't have a Bible verse for us today, but I have a small testimony. I'm currently at His Way. I've been there 4 months, and it's changed my life. I left the church when I was around 14 or 15, and I've been to various denominations since then. I've been in addiction for those 75% of those 44 years I've been in addiction and alcoholism. So when I came here on checked into His Way on March the 20th, and then my first day here was a Wednesday night, and I was greeted warmly, lovingly, just like I was already part of the family. And that I had never seen before. I got baptized a week later. And since then, this congregation has shown more love and more giving of themselves than I've ever seen in my whole life. My wife has been in the hospital recently, and through everyone's prayers, everyone's calls, everyone's visits, we made it through that. And that is the real, I stand up here as a testimony for that, but also I stand up here as basically a product of what the inward journey is all about, and what bearing one another's burdens, what being behind each other, what loving one another is all about. So, you know, I'm standing here today as a product of that, and I'm very grateful for it, and God bless you. Thank you.
Let's give his brother a hand.
Amen.
All right, Chip talked about the journey, and we've gone through, after some studies of the foundational matters, we've gone through upward, inward, and outward. And I want to say, we're coming to outward, and I want to say a few words about that. General characteristic for this portion of our journey is striving to see the world as Jesus sees it. Now, that may sound a little bit strange, but stop and think about it. Jesus saw an opportunity in every exchange and interchange and everywhere he went. Whether it was Zacchaeus up in a tree, or whether it was fishermen, or whether it was a woman putting something in the temple, he was very situationally aware. How's that for a good, bright term? Had to work on that for a while. He was very situationally aware. And that's what we're called to be. We're very situationally aware. And then what do? We respond in compassion. We interpret the need and we respond to it. This is where it happens. This part of our journey is where it happens. This is where we are up and out. We've looked at the relationship with the Father. We've talked about what would be called in the world the down and in, with the inward And now it's time for us to look outward and see what's out there. We need to remind ourselves as we do that love is an action word. What comes to your mind? For God so loved the world that he gave. That's an action word, isn't it? Love is an action word. Let us remember back when we went through 1 John in 3:18, we were told, let us not love with words, but action and in truth. So as we go on our journey, biblically, we're called to see love as an action word. Secondly, our faith is a faith that acts. Think of something. Think of Jesus talking about some people who heard and put into practice what he said. What are they called?
Wise.
And he talked about some people that heard and didn't put it into practice. So our faith is a faith that acts, and there's other verses there that we could look at. One is James 4:17. Anyone then who knows what is good, what good he ought to do, and does not do it, it is sin. He's not being harsh there. He's stating a reality that faith without works is dead. He just said that. So if we're faithful people, we're also active people. The message, as you go, engage. Think outward. The key word for the upcoming study is helpless and harassed. That comes from Matthew 9:36. Anybody want to quote that? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were what? Right. They were like sheep without a shepherd. So what did the Son of Man do? He came, right? Notice the next verses, though, that go with it, just as a stinger on that. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his field. So this up and outward is a call to be the workers that go in the field in response to what Jesus asked us to do. We're going to talk about four areas as we work through this. There are obviously more, but there are four core areas when you look. The first area of outreach is into the world with the gospel, at home and abroad. What does Matthew 28:19 start with? Let's hear it. Go. Go. That's what it starts with. Acts 8:4. Those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word and testifying about Jesus. That's what we want to be, a church that wherever we go, we spread the light of Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as a church life and a worldly life. There's one life. The life has to be put, that's all one life. So the more compassion you have, the more you're going to see the things Jesus saw in the world. So that calls us to really work on compassion. Where the people, let me get to where I'm supposed to be here. Hold on just a minute. So the second place we want to go is where people are helpless and harassed. We need to think about those things, not just sit in our homes before the television.
Amen.
But think about where are people helpless and harassed, and how can I engage? Not just worrying about it, but how can I engage? I can engage in one way. You can engage in another way. You can engage in another way. But is there anyone here who can't engage one way or another? That's the question before us. Matthew 25:31 addresses that. Remember, there were people who were in prison, who were hungry, who lacked in clothing and so on. One set of people did what? They saw the need and responded. What did the other group do?
We didn't even see it.
Well, that didn't wash with the Lord very well, did it? Think about how that ended. It didn't wash with the Lord very well. What's the difference? The people who took care of them had hearts of compassion and were not so wrapped up in themselves they could not see the problems that somebody else has. And this is one, I won't spend a minute, but it says, when you give a banquet, who do you not invite? Pardon me? Your friends and neighbors. Why? Because they can pay you back. But who do you invite? The lame, the blind, and the poor. And we need to see how we can do better with that. This is not a jump on you lesson. It's just a lesson to say, well, open our vision and let's see how we can do better. It's always how we can do better. Nobody's going to be perfect and going to be complete until Jesus comes again. We can have substantial forgiveness and healings of the things in this world, but until Jesus comes again, there'll not be full healing. So we're going to have to keep struggling with things. But we need to engage, and we need to pick up the pace a little bit is what the coach used to say when we were dragging it going around the football field running laps, pick up the pace. Next area of outreach is the persecuted at home and abroad. We have to really, Hebrews 13:3 says, remember those who are in prison, and then he personalizes it, as though you were there with them. And I think about that sometime when I see these pictures or when the Voice of the Martyr magazine comes. What in the world would it be like? How in the world would I respond? Hebrews 13:3 is very plain. And the last of the four areas is hospitality to the visitor and the stranger without favoritism. Hebrews 13 says that, show hospitality to the strangers, for in times past, people have entertained angels unaware. Now that ties back to something Jesus said, don't judge it to be not judged. If you start out with a prejudice, you might not get the right answer. If you start out biased, you may not get the right answer. So hospitality is another. So those are the four areas that we're going to concentrate on. Into the world with the gospel message, seeing where people are helpless and harassed, thinking more about the persecuted and their people who are being persecuted right here in the United States right now. You remember one of the court issues that made the news where this fellow wouldn't make a cake? Well, I don't know whether it's that one or one like it. But it cost him so much to defend himself that he lost his business, went into bankruptcy, and he opened another business. And now the same crowd is suing him again for a different thing. I mean, it's really true. So the outcome, convicted and strengthened to reach out in the name of Jesus. Love acts. Faith is alive. Remember, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we'll start next week to kick off on July the 28th. I hope you put it on your calendar and plan to spend the day with us, in fact, or most of the day with us, a good part of the day. We're going to have, as Chip said, Earl Lavender will be back with us. I think he's been very helpful to the church. I think it's good to hear from him. And Ed Ditto remarked to me, I believe Earl's a good fit for us. So 9 a.m., combined adult classes, teens and up, that'll be in here. 10:15 a.m., church assembly, that'll be in here. And then at 5:30, we're going to have cornbread and bean fellowship meal. That did well last time. That's just a time to get together, and we try to sit at the tables and encourage you, back to the one another thing, encourage you to sit with people you don't know instead of flocking together with your buddies. As long as you're flocked with your buddies, you're not learning much about someone you don't know, right? But everybody's a value, so we need to learn more and more about each other. And then at 6:30 to 7, there'll be what Earl calls a wide open forum. Join us for these times together. And let's pray for a moment. Holy Father, we are mindful that we're in this world for a purpose. Jesus told us we're to let our light shine. We're to be salt and light. That's engaging people in different ways. And I pray, Heavenly Father, as we enter this time in our journey, where we're looking at how we can go up and out and into the world with the light of the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel message, the message that lets people know that there is a destiny, and the destiny will be one or the other. And Father, I just pray that we can come together in this as a church that will be unified, and we will come off of the inward and strengthening and encouraging each other in this and sharing with each other ways in which we can touch the people that are helpless and harassed. We just thank you for these times together, and I thank you for this body of people and their willingness to really dig in and to make their lives count for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Some of you may have come to a conclusion and recently or